Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Leadership from the Heart. It's just me today, and I'm kind of excited about that. I think that I'm going to do a couple of more solo episodes. I think that I think that it'll be beneficial for me and being able to share with you guys sort of like what I'm going through, how it's going. And I'm actually going to also start weaving in some non-corporate leadership stuff. So we'll probably have a few guests on in the future, the near future, that will talk about just like self-development, because that's also leadership. And I want to shift into that self-leadership mindset, because I think that's what it starts with. And yes, leading other people is great. It's probably the best part of leadership, but it really does start with self-leadership. And if you're not aware how you're leading yourself, then you may not be so aware of how you're also leading other people, right? And I'm actually shifting my entire business model from leadership coach to leadership mentor. It's something that chose me. After I chose coaching, I realized that coaching is great. And I have a habit or the gift of just really saying what I've experienced. And that seems to be what helps people. And that's more like mentorship. And it is coaching. Coaching is really extracting the answers from the person. And while the mentorship, of course, has a lot of that in it, I find that I've been getting a lot more requests for me mentoring people. So I'm currently mentoring 5 people. And in my success in that, in my success, I say like the things that I've learned in becoming a mentor, and then the things that my mentees have been successful in, I decided that maybe this is the direction I'm supposed to go in right now. And this is the season that I'm in. And, you know, I don't want anyone to get anything twisted, right? I absolutely am still a coach. I absolutely will still coach. But I really believe that over the last year or so, mentorship has such a softer way of landing. And a lot more people are open to the idea of mentorship because it feels more like support, especially if it's support from someone who's been successful in what you want to do. And of course, that's also what coaching is too. And I'm not knocking coaching at all. I just think that coaching has this connotation from my point of view of people trying to fix you. And what I love about mentorship is that the mentee has all the cards in their hand. They are the one driving the entire ship. And you are like literally just pointing out the things that could be in their way. And truthfully, that's really what I've always done. I just continue to share what I've done in my years of leadership, specifically in operations, but just leadership, and paying it forward to the mentors that I have and had for helping guide me to where I am in my success, right? Yeah, as I said, like coaching is something about, there's something about coaching where it's like, you're not good enough yet. And mentorship is like a peer-to-peer, right? I just happen to have a little bit more experience. And I can tell you from my experience what this could be or what this can't be. And most importantly, as a mentor, I help them make sure that I am not putting my limiting beliefs on them. And I think that that's such a beautiful, beautiful thing to, one, be aware of, and to allow them to tell me where I am possibly putting a limited belief because of an experience that I had on them. And like I said, the cards are in their hand completely because they have to drive the mentorship program, right? It has to be what they know their gaps are, current things that they're experiencing, and we will walk and talk through those things. And so from that perspective, it can land like real life for them. Because what I found was I would be coaching about, you know, strategy or emotional intelligence. But if it's not something that somebody else has actually experienced, it may not land, because I'm going to speak from it from my point of view instead of letting them tell me like how their day went and some of the things they're struggling with. And then being able to say, based on, it sounds like this or it sounds like that. And so, as I said, you know, I'm currently mentoring 5 people, and it is honestly one of the funnest parts of my day when I get to interact or go have lunch or have that mentor-mentee interaction. And then, like, I also love the fact that I get the text or the call later to say, this is how it went, good or bad. Like, this is how it went, because that means that, like, we're actually interacting, like we're actually doing something. And so the program is, again, designed for the person to drive the ship. And so you have to make sure that, one, you're ready. right? Because while I will take your money for free, we're not going to have that great of a relationship as a mentor mentee if you're not willing to do the work. And so it is just a mirror, and we're honestly just mirroring each other, but it's just a mirror for you to, for us to have the conversation, to have the talking points, to have the next task to go do. And then you don't go do it. That's just a reflection of where you are and what you are willing to do. But then we get to sit and talk about why you're not doing it, right? And that's, I think, the greatest catalyst, because once we can uncover the why you're not doing something, then we can get into like the real nitty gritty of like what's behind in our subconscious. And that's why I wanted to go into mentorship. You know, I was going to post a video earlier this week, but I guess I'll just do it from here, is, you know, my mom taught me a long time ago that when you're going to decide something, she always said to play it out both ways, right? So when you're going to take an action, play it out the best case scenario and play out the worst case scenario. And she taught us that as kids so that when we thought about best case, worst case, and the worst case was not worth it, then we wouldn't do the thing, right? And so I'm going to go steal a candy bar. Best case scenario, I get to eat the candy bar and nobody ever knows that I stole it. Worst case scenario, I get caught. I, you know, have to talk to the police. I have to fess up to my mom, whatever, right? And so when you think about it that way, is the taste of the candy bar worth possibly getting caught and getting my ass whooped and all those other things, right? And so it was a quick way to like decide whether you were going to do something or not. And I'm forever grateful for it. And so this week I was battling taking action in something, and I saw this fear that kept coming up, and I started to go best case, worst case, but I didn't want to stop at the worst case, because the worst case is what's stopping, right? The worst case is just fear mongering. And so I literally wanted to play out the worst case, but for my own logic to be able to say, this is the worst thing that could happen to you. If you're not dying or hurt physically, let's just go, right? And so, and I remember teaching this or talking to someone a couple of years back, and we went through the same exercise. And I guess I didn't quite realize how impactful it was, because I hadn't been using it in the last couple of years, but it was pretty cool to see it. And the exercise that I did with the young lady that I did it with was, she was having an issue with her leader. And it was either her leader or her leader's leader. And he was not being very kind and being disrespectful. And she didn't feel like she could tell him or tell someone who could help mediate the conversation, because she felt like if she had told someone, that this leader would retaliate. And so in this case, we were talking about something that was very hurtful to her and kind of bringing her down and removing her peace. And as a woman, it's already tough when you have a male leader, let alone a male leader that seems like a bully. And now you feel like you can't say anything to anyone because God forbid he finds out, right? Because of what could happen. And so we played this exercise out, and I said, well, what's the worst that can happen? You tell him, he gets mad, he goes off the rails, and yeah, you have to listen to him lecture you for an hour or belittle you for an hour or whatever it is. And then what? Well, and then he could just start making my life a living hell. And then what? And then he could possibly fire me. And then what? And then I get fired. And then what? And then I have to look for another job. And then what? And then you find another job. And then what? And then you are okay. And then what? And then my life is better because I found respect for myself and I stood up for myself. And then what? Right? And so we often play out this scenario of best case, worst case, but we don't play the worst case all the way out until it gets good again. We think it's going to stop where we think it's going to stop. It's going to stop at, I might get fired. And then what? Right? And then what? After you get fired, and then what? You're a human being. We are all resilient. Right? And then you're going to find another job. And then you're going to find a better job. And then you're going to be better because you stood up for yourself. And then people around you are going to know that that's a boundary for you. And then you're never going to let anyone treat you the same way ever again. And then what? Right? And so I played the scenario out, and I played it all the way out. Right? And then what? And then my program doesn't land. And then I start a new program. And then what? Like, and nobody buys it. And then what? You do it again and you do it again and you do it again and you do it again until it fucking sticks, right? That's the truth, right? But the thing is that we stop at nobody's going to buy it, or nobody's going to like my post, or nobody's going to like this, or nobody's going to, and we get so caught up in that. And so back to like the whole mentorship coach thing, I think that it's so cool and wise and like to have a mentor, because your mentor doesn't have the same lens that you have, and they can always, and then what you, and then what you all the way to fucking success, because that's the truth. That's where it's at. That's all we're really afraid of. But we often stop at what we think scares us the most. Getting fired is not the worst thing in the world. There are people around the entire world who've been fired, right? And then what? And then your life gets a little bit better, right? And so in that, I know we went sidetracked for a second there, but I want to encourage you to, when you're deciding or when you see the fear come up, just and then what yourself all the way till it gets good again. Like, psych yourself back up. Be so delusional in your like certainty that you know it's going to get good again, because that's where the growth is. That's where the magic is, right? So let's talk about these four people that I'm mentoring. Well, five people that I'm mentoring, but I have four true stories for you guys. One person came to me maybe a year ago, was struggling with getting promoted and understood that there were some gaps in his leadership skills. And his current manager is not able to kind of get him there. And I think that that's such a cool thing, because business owners and leaders, not everybody is built the same, right? Not everybody has time. Not everybody has the awareness to help their employees fill these gaps. And so that's where like businesses like mine come in, because we can help you fill the gap, right? The worst thing in the world in corporate America is promoting someone who's not ready to be promoted. And then something that's worser than that is promoting them when they weren't ready and then still not getting them ready. There's nothing more infuriating to like frontline employees or even managers for directors or directors for VPs than somebody that is not ready for leadership, but is in that position and nobody is doing anything to help that person grow. They're just leaving them there to flounder by themselves, and like everybody sitting idly by watching them like just drown. And it sucks because it's not even their fault, right? Sure, should they know, should they have some awareness to go get the help that they need? Absolutely, right? And my God, if you know one of your leaders is struggling, it is your job. It is your job to get them the help they need. Whether they take it or not, you can't control that, but it is your job to get them the help they need. So back to the story. So he came to me because he wants to get promoted and understands that there's some gaps. He likes my style. And that's another thing that's important. You've got to like your mentee, your mentor style, because if you don't, then you're probably not going to vibe. And so that's also another caveat that's important. The thing about this guy is that he's super smart, right? And one thing that we identified quickly was that when solving a problem, he would often send emails or communicate in a way that didn't what I call leave the door open, right? He would send the email, it would be very matter of fact, and the solution would be presented and thank you for your time and thanks for listening to my TED talk, and the door is closed and do with it what you will. And what he found was that nobody was responding to him and nobody was warm to his suggestions. And so in going back and forth and like kind of like reading his emails, I could tell that he didn't leave the door open. He didn't leave the ability for him to be wrong or for anyone to have another opinion, because he was so matter of fact in his response. And so we worked on this very small shift that instead of just giving the answer, we added some warmth to his email. And so that, what I call, opens the door specifically for dialogue. But really, it just helps people digest the solution so much better when you say things like, I believe this could be a solution, or I'm open to any other ideas that people have. This is one solution I found, even if there, because there could be more solutions, even if you're sure that this is the one and only. And small shifts like this, while it may attack his ego, because the first thing is, but this is the right answer. Sure, right? There could be another there could be another answer, and there could be another perspective, and all these other things that with you just saying this is the way and this is the data to back it, nobody's going to move on that, right? Because everybody's triggered by your trigger. And so this, again, very small shift, very small thing that just opened his paradigm to a new way of working. And man, this specific person is just so good, because like, as soon as he saw that small spark or that small thing that helped him, now we're moving into like other uncharted waters, right? Like now it's like, okay, well, this didn't work, and how can I do that? And we're like, now we're hitting and we're firing on a lot of cylinders. Happy to say that he has since been promoted. Very happy for him. But I just want you to be aware that like, it's not because he made these small shifts. It's because he was willing to do the work, willing to be wrong, willing to change his perspective in order to adjust to like the very diverse group of people that he works with, right? And that's the truth, that on the DISC assessment, he's likely a C, maybe an SC or a CS, but there's everybody that's, you know, a conglomerate of people in that scenario or people that he works with. And so changing your tone to kind of fit everyone is really the best way, right? And so it's important for you as the leader to want to make it stick. And we'll get into this in another example that I have here for you. But the second person that asked me to mentor her was someone that was fairly new, and she had so many great ideas and like passionate and smart and like full of fire, but she was frustrated that like her leadership team wasn't buying in, or at least that was her perspective, right? And after a couple of conversations, it became clear that like, while leadership did support her ideas, they thought that they were great ideas, they just weren't going to pick up the ball and run with her, right? Like they were just like, yeah, you should go do those things, because they weren't stopping her. Like they weren't blocking her from those ideas. They just weren't as enthusiastic as she was. And what we walked through was that they didn't need to be. She had everything inside of her. She had all the ideas. She had the way to execute. She had everything she needed. And so we practiced this, stop waiting for permission, right? And just start doing the thing. And so in the moment she realized that she didn't need necessarily their permission or their picking up the ball to run with her, she could do it herself. And so she did. And the momentum shifted completely. And when you do that, when you take the ball yourself, when you have an idea and you take the ball yourself, it's almost like people are just kind of waiting to see if you're successful. And this is true for everyone who has been successful, right? They think you're crazy until you're successful. That's like the whole saying. And so these people, the leaders, they didn't necessarily think that she was doing too much. They just didn't know how to do it. And so when they saw her do it, now guess what's happening? Now she has an idea, and now everybody rallies around her. And now she's telling people, well, I need you to do this and I need you to do that. And she's commanding with her leadership presence on, here's how we're going to execute on my idea. And that's what most leaders are just waiting for permission to lead. And there's no reason to wait for permission to lead. I often tell people to go do the thing. They will tell you when you get too far. They will tell you when you cross the boundary. They will tell you where the line is in the sand. But don't you dare draw that line on yourself. Don't you dare put a limit on yourself that doesn't exist, right? Push as far as you can go. And when you get too far and they show you where the line is, then you take a step back, you respect the boundary, and you say, okay, now I know that I can't go that far. But don't you dare put yourself in a box, because the world will put you in a box every single day of the week. And honestly, the box that we live in is just up here. So, you know, in this scenario, I encourage you to stop waiting for permission and just start leading. You already know what to do. Just go do the thing. Third person that asked for some mentorship was probably the most recent. So this person also, obviously, this person wants to get promoted, and he has a military background. And so he comes from the command militant stature in his leadership, right? And so again, being very specific in what the mentees know they want to work on, his was diplomacy. And so in diplomacy, he wanted to know how to be like politically correct in asking for something, because in his belief, you know, most of the military, if I ask you to do something, you should just go do it. You shouldn't ask me why. You shouldn't ask many questions other than like, how do I? But this doesn't work in like, you know, the new age workplace and corporate America. Now we need to explain the why and the why behind the why. And we shouldn't be mad about that. We should just explain it. And so the way I was able to convey the message to him, because he's very efficient person, is that I tailor my communication for efficiency. And so when I say for efficiency, I like to think of the person that I need to convey the message to. And if I know them well enough, then I craft my message to help it land there in the most efficient way. Now, is it efficient for me always? Absolutely not. But I know it's more efficient for them to understand it, digest it, either go take action or understand my purpose for saying it. Again, the goal in communicating is to get them to understand your point of view or get them to go do the thing. And being very result focused, I don't mind if it takes me an extra 5 minutes, right? It's better than me not taking the extra 5 minutes to explain, you misunderstanding me, and us being back here in a week or 2 weeks or a day, having the conversation again. And this time it takes 35 minutes because now we have to undo what you did and then start the conversation all over again. And so being very result focused, I like to speak to people the way that they're going to understand me. And of course, not everybody is going to, it's not always going to work. And so therefore you use the feedback loop. But if you know who you're speaking to and you know how they like to be spoken to, and you know the words to use, or you know the rhythm to use, or you know like all the things that like communicating need, then that's the thing that you should do. Absolutely. Is it exhausting? Sometimes. But my God, when it lands and you can just see the light bulb go off and them go execute, you hit a home run, right? And that's really the goal. And so when you don't know who you're speaking to, and I don't mean to get into like a coaching session real quick, but when you don't know who you're speaking to, because you don't know there's, then you want to kind of use a blend of all the styles, right? And this is where you're going to use like active listening, and you're going to look for social cues and like some, what do you call that? When people are changing their demeanor, right? You're going to look for those cues so that you know what to do more of and what to do less of, right? So opening up, nodding their head. There's a word for this. I just can't think of it. But those are the things you're going to kind of look for so that you know, oh, okay, this is how they like to be communicated. Let me go down that path. If you're in a group of people, you want to use all the different types of communication styles because you don't know how it's going to land. But, you know, in this, he was able to see and just hook on the word efficiency. And once he hooked on the word efficiency, it took off, right? And that's how we really need to think, is that we likely just need one small paradigm shift to take to be off to the races. And so in communication, what I like to tell people and what we've discovered with him was that like our ego gets so caught up in the way we want to do things, and it can really deter us from our end goal, right? And yes, the way you want to do something is valid, right? And the way you want to convey the message is valid. But when you're communicating, you're not communicating for you, you're communicating for them. And so it's very ego-less, right? And more open to the idea of it being for them and less for you. So do what you will with that. And I hope it helps. And then last but not least, the fourth person that I'm helping mentor, you know, felt a little deflated after the team gave them feedback about appreciation week, right? It was appreciation week and the team did not appreciate all the things that happened. And so the leader felt, again, deflated, disrespected, all the feelings you feel when someone doesn't appreciate you, right? It sucks. And so it's happened before to me. You know, luckily I had a team around me that we finally got to the bottom of it fairly quickly. And we realized something very easy, right? Like it's their appreciation week. We should appreciate them the way that they want to be appreciated, not the way we want to appreciate them, right? And that's often what we do, right? We want to recognize someone for something great that they did. And so we want to recognize them the way that we want to recognize them. And not necessarily the way they want to be recognized, and not necessarily the way they want to be recognized. And so in that, I think that it's so important for us to remember that while we are important, right? As leaders, we are extremely important, but we are in service to something, someone else. So celebrate people the way they want to be celebrated. Recognize people the way they want to be recognized. It goes the same as communicate to people the way they want to be communicated to. It does you no good to do it the way you want, especially if it's different than the way they want. I heard a story recently about a leader celebrating someone's milestone at the company and did a big cake thing, and she was mortified. She hated it. They said it was one of the worst days of her work life, all because we just didn't ask, hey, you know, I know your milestone is coming up. This is what I'm thinking. How do you feel about that? Right? She would have been much more appreciative of a handwritten note or card and perhaps a cake sent to her house so she could celebrate with her family. She's not a big celebrator in public, and it just didn't land, right? And so with the wrong leader, something so genuine and so kind could be taken wrong. And then, boom, now you're defensive and now you feel unappreciated. Now you don't want to do it for anybody because so-and-so didn't do it, when that's not the case. You can have all those feelings. You're human. But let's get down to like the nitty gritty, right? That's not the truth. The truth is that's not what they wanted. And while you were trying to do something kind, it just didn't land. And that's okay. And that's what I love about mentorship. It's because it's not about someone telling you what to do. It's about someone walking alongside you, you know, and remembering the important things. And hey, how'd it go today? Right? Because you know something big is happening today. And so, you know, what I've learned is that a mentee has all the cards. You're just showing them, you know, how to get the best play on those cards possible based on your experience, right? And here's a shameless plug. I created the Next Level Leader Mentorship. It's for the ones who already are self-aware. You know your gaps. You don't want to waste your years trying to figure it out alone. You're not waiting for someone to hand you a promotion. You're building yourself into someone who's ready for it. And let's be completely honest and real. If you're not willing to take action, if you're not ready to move, this is not going to be a good fit, because I'm not going to carry you, right? The goal is for me to walk alongside you while you move your own mountains. The power was really never in the mentor's hands. The power was never in the coach's hands. The power has always been in the person doing the work, right? The man in the arena, which is one of my absolute favorite quotes by Theodore Roosevelt. And so whether you're leading people or you're helping shape a culture or you're planning your next move, this mentorship will give you the space, the wisdom, and the accountability to get there faster and cleaner. So if this resonates with you, I want to invite you to apply. The link will be in the show notes for sure. And I don't work with just anyone. So if you're ready, I definitely invite you so we could discover what the next level of leadership looks like for you in your version. And I would be nothing but honored to walk that path with you. And if you're curious about what that could look like for you, there is a quick application, and it's not necessarily an application like yes or no. It's just telling me what your goals are so that I can help understand where you are in your path. And there's also a quiz that I created that is a how can a mentor help me, right? So this is like before the application form. This is more so honing in on certain areas of, you know, this is how your mentor can help you. Either devise a plan. Do you have a plan? And then how to execute on your plan, right? So those are like the three areas that it's going to help identify. So that also in the show notes, or you can always go to our website. It is www.leadershipfromtheheart.co. That's leadershipfromtheheart.co. All the links will also be in my social media. And yeah, I feel complete. So thank you so much for listening, guys. Really enjoyed this episode. Really am fired up for this mentorship program. I know it's where my heart is for this season. We'll see how long it goes. And so if it resonates with you, I hope to see you inside. Take care. Until next time.